Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
It's a great word for you today, so just I pray you just open your hearts. You're going to get blessed. If you like, take this word and just it's going to launch you into your new year. I'm so stoked. Like one time Teresa was preaching a message here as Bill Johnson was preaching the same text in Reading. You know, one time I was preaching. It happens all the time where God speaks to people in different areas of the nation at the same time when he releases the same word. You know, but it's so neat to know we have a loving God who cares about your future and he cares about this year. He cares about you. And this is a timely word. So let's just give it up for the gift in the house. Pastor Mike Schepplein, bring it, Mike.
Hey, I just want to, first, I thought they were going to keep playing because I had practice. I was going to sing a song and dance. Oh, you have little faith. You know, if you know me, I cannot dance and I cannot sing. So anyway, hey, I want to just stop right now. And I want us to give it up for Pastor Daniel and Teresa. Come on. They're awesome. Man, they are so... If I lived in this area, I'd be here. Actually, I was when I lived in this area. But anyway, how about if we let's just invite the presence of the Lord. We know that he's here, but just kind of condition our heart to be receptive. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your truth. And Lord, we're here today because we want to grow. Lord, we don't want to just learn about you. We want to know you. We want to experience what you have for our lives. And we come before you and we invite you to take your word, Lord, and show us your ways. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your presence. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We just yield to you and we invite you. You can take your tractor and drive over the top and turn over the soil of our life because we're desiring you to plant new things. We're desiring you to, Lord, reap a harvest out of our life. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. I understand that that we've been in a series talking about the making of a true disciple. How many of us are disciples? How many of us openly acknowledge we're under construction? You know what I'm saying? We're all. And you know, when you think about this as a disciple, before anything else is a heart thing. It's something that's going on in our heart. And it's, I can stand up and I think that there are practicals when you talk about being a disciple, you know, the practicals of you know, walking out our faith and practically doing things. You know, it's almost like people say to you, oh, you know, how can you raise great kids? Well, there's some practicals to that. How many of you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't feed them, they're going to die. There's a practical thing there. But then equally is there's a heart thing. You got to love them. How many of you know what I'm saying? And so if I could give you a title today, it's just simply one word, and it's the word wholehearted. Everybody say wholehearted. It's a word, you know, and when you hear that statement, wholehearted, and I'm going to just open it up, and you can shout back at me, what do you think of? When you hear the word wholehearted, what word comes to mind? Go ahead, shout it back. All in. That's a good one. Anybody else? Everything. Somebody else said everything. I like there's this quote. I don't know who quoted it, but I like it. It says, until you find something to die for, you haven't begun to live. I think that's a powerful quote. See, life with us is a marathon. And the older I get, the more I realize it. When I was young, I thought it was a sprint. But the older I get, what I realize is that life is a marathon. And what keeps us healthy and on track through the ups and the downs, through the confusion and the clarity, through what looks like an incredible blessing or what feels like a curse in what's going on in my life. What keeps us on track is really, really simple. And through every season is it's us being wholehearted. It's us stopping and saying, this is going on, but nothing and no one is over my heart. I'm in charge of my heart, and I'm going to be wholehearted in the season I'm in the situation I'm facing, because what I know is God calls me to live wholehearted. He calls me to live that way. In our world today, it's underrated, but I believe that it's the leading cause for us living below the life that Jesus has for us, where we're like, Lord, what's going on? And we always do a heart checkup. Wholehearted obviously applies to our relationship with God, but it's way more than that. It's way more. At church, you're here and you're like, oh, you're talking about being wholehearted. I am, but realize that it starts there. And the greatest example of being wholehearted is there's many biblical examples, Jesus being one of them, but it doesn't matter. You go Old Testament, New Testament. You can look at Jesus, Paul, Peter. You go Old Testament. You see David, Joshua. And what it is that when you look at Jesus, what you find is he was obviously wholehearted with God, but whatever he was doing, he was fully present, fully engaged, and wholehearted in that situation. If you were having a conversation with Jesus, he was not distracted. He was wholehearted right there. That's where he was. Whatever he was doing, he was wholehearted. And you say, well, why is that? Is his example of being wholehearted is, I believe, one of the greatest examples for us to learn from. And the reason is we were created and called by design to live wholehearted. That's the way God designed. So whenever, and we live in this world that is just huge, full of distractions, whenever we let ourselves drift into half-hearted in any area of our life, we have just limited God's ability, because he calls us to be wholehearted. You might be here and you say, I'm wholehearted in my relationship with God, but you're married. I want to ask you a question. Are you half-hearted in your marriage? Okay, got quiet. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You say, you know what? I'm believing God for a raise this year. How many of you think you deserve a raise? How many of you want a raise? I'm believing, man, like four of us. Dude, it's like, just be real. Okay, I'm glad. The guy in the back's got both hands up. He just claimed for one of y'all that didn't lift your hand up. Okay, how many of you believe you deserve a raise this year? How many of you want a raise? No, next one. How many of you need a raise this year? You know what I'm saying? Let me just tell you. The biggest difference is not your boss, but being wholehearted at work. Wholehearted doesn't show up at the last minute, shows up early. Wholehearted isn't the first to check out, but it's the one that makes sure the job gets done. Wholehearted is the one that says, you know what? I work for you, and I don't need to get into it. It doesn't matter to me you're the person that God put in front of me, but you know what? I'm here because I'm serving Jesus where I'm at. And let me tell you, I've been an employer. I am an employer. And those people that do that, they get promoted. They get blessed because it's so rare. It's really, really hard to find. And, you know, we were created. I'm just going to give you a few words of wholehearted, just some definitions. One is committed, dedicated, determined, devoted, enduring, enthusiastic, fervent, genuine, heartfelt, passionate, real, serious, steadfast, steady, unfaltering, unwavering, and zealous. And I want to talk this morning about living wholehearted. Every hero we have, whether it is in the Bible, it is on a sports team, or it is in leadership or a business leader, the reason they're a hero is because they were wholehearted. Whatever they did it wholeheartedly, and they achieved something. And the reason is we were created by design to live wholehearted. I mean, how many of you remember the movie Rudy? Come on, Rudy. You remember what the coach said? Is they were ragging on Rudy, and the coach jumped on him and said, if you had half the heart of Rudy, you would be an incredible player. What I want you to notice is it isn't my talent, it isn't my skill, it's my heart that determines everything. You say, well, I don't have the talent, or I don't have the skill. You got God, and he's got it all. And what it is we've got to stop and maybe rather than look at our situation and rationalize and justify, we got to stop and back up and say, am I wholehearted right now where I'm at? Am I wholehearted? And when we talk about being wholehearted, first, it's obviously in our relationship, in our devotion to God, but then it's a lifestyle and it's a way of life. It's a way that we live everyday life. We were created to live wholehearted. And I'm convinced, you know, my biggest distraction in life is something that I absolutely love, and it is technology. How many of you are with me? It is technology. I mean, you know, I don't know what I would do without an iPhone. How many of you are with me? I mean, it would just be like, what are your priorities? Jesus, my wife, and my phone. How many of you are with me? You know what I'm saying? You say, well, why is that? You say, why is that? Because I'm addicted. I'm addicted. We got it when with my wife, it's like we got this thing. We do a date night. If you're married, you should do a date night. But we always do a date night. And we got this thing where it's like, when we're on a date night, understand your phone is flipped over face down on the table because whoever you're with is more important than the person you're trying to get. Our kids come over, they're all adults, and they all come over and they sit down. We got a rule at our dinner table, and the rule is super simple. That, you know what, when we're here, we're going to be wholehearted, engaged in the relationship that's in front of us, not distracted by all this spinning stuff out here. And that what it is I am convinced that the enemy robs us. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 10:25 through verse 28. One day an expert of the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him a question. How many of you know, dude, if you're testing Jesus, you're just stupid. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, it's like, I could just see Jesus, oh, get ready for this. You know what I'm saying? But look at what his question was. And I think it's a profound question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God. Now look at this. With all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. What I want you to notice in this question is he said, what do I need to do to, and look at the word inherit eternal life. That means that I don't earn it. Inheritance is something that's given to you. Now, when you look in here, Jesus had not given his life yet. But when we come to Christ and we give our life, the Bible says we're born again by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in us, and we're going to live eternally from that day on. But what I want you to notice, the question that he asked is his question was, you know what, how do I inherit or receive the life of God in my here and in my now? And Jesus responds to him and says, you got to be wholehearted. You've got to be wholehearted. Look at Matthew 22, verse 36. It says, and this is another person. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Notice the first one was, how do I live in the life of God? But now he says, what is the main deal with God? What's the big deal? He said, God wants you to be wholehearted. God said, the main deal with me is not a bunch of rules and regs. The main deal with me is I need you to be all in. I need you to have a heart that is all in. It says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart, all your heart. Proverbs 4:23, it says to guard your heart. If God's saying guard your heart, realize this, that means that Satan is going to try to plant stuff in our heart, because whatever we let in our heart is the next crop that's coming out of our life. And so God, he says, guard your heart. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 30, it says that a sound heart is the life and health of the body. And so when we talk about being wholehearted, it's a way of life, and it spreads to every other area of my life. And what it does is it causes me to live in God's best. It causes me to experience God's best. Maybe you're here right now, and I'm just going to throw a thought out there, but you're saying to yourself, you know what, in this relationship, you know what, I'm not living in God's best in this relationship. It could be in a dating relationship. It could be in your marriage. It could be with your parents. It could be with your kids. Let me just tell you, the very first place you've got to start is, am I being wholehearted in this relationship? And if I'm being half-hearted in this relationship, then understand I am not giving God a foundation to build on. God is saying, you bring the heart to the table. I can't do that. And when you bring the right heart to the table, I will take care of your relationships. I will take care of your finances. I will take care of that vision that you have. I will take care of what you feel called to do. But you've got to bring the right heart. And what it is in this life, we go through things and it just causes our heart sometimes to get funky. How many of you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, I remember my kids were in, when they were super little, they were doing Pee Wee football. How many of you remember that? Pee Wee football. Well, what happened is there was this one kid that was in Pee Wee football, and I'm not kidding. I'm like, that kid looks like a college student. How many of you know what I'm saying? I'm not kidding. This kid was like, I mean, my boys were like this. He was 6 foot. They had to go to the high school to get him a helmet to put on because no helmets fit him. Okay, and so they said to the kids, they said, block him. His name was Jordan. Jordan got saved and came to our church. But Jordan would line up, and he looked like a man among boys. He would line up on the line, and they'd go hike, and Jordan would just run right through the line, and the little kid that was a quarterback would just fall on the ground and curl up. He would just fall down, and they come running out, and the kids come running out, and the coach said, do you want to go in? And they go. And he goes down the line, do you want to go in? Do you want to go in? Do you want to go in? And all of them are going, I don't want to go in. Let me tell you something. Wholehearted is going in when you feel like you've been run over. That's what it is. It's going in. Right now, we're here, and you're like, God, I want you to move in this relationship. You feel like you've been run over, but God says, I want you to go in wholehearted. I want you to go in wholehearted. I want you to go, I mean, what do we say when we got married? I've been married for 34 years. Woo-hoo. You know, Pastor Daniel stood up here and he told a really nice story about his hand. But let me just tell you what happened. Some dude was hooting at our wives and he just, poof. Okay, did that go out on live stream? That's a lie. That is a lie. I'm joking. You got an awesome pastor. I want to read. Let's get in the Bible, brethren. In Colossians, look at what it says in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and I'm going to start reading in verse 23, but verse 22 talks about employees serving their employers from a pure, whole heart. And then in verse 23, it says this, put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you were doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. See, God said, whatever you're doing at this given moment, I need you to be fully present and wholehearted in it. I need you to be fully present and wholehearted in it. In my opinion, this is the biggest thing that affects longevity in our lives. It is the biggest thing that affects. We're wholehearted today, but a year or two goes by and we're not wholehearted anymore. And it is something that we have to assess. It's something that we have to see. What it is when we're not wholehearted in an area, whatever that area is that area is never as fulfilling, as rewarding as God intended, because our heart isn't in the right spot. It's never as fulfilling and rewarding. And I believe that it's the leading cause for frustration in our life, is we're frustrated. And you say, well, this happened. I get it. Maybe you had no control over that, but you got control over your heart right now. You've got control. Yeah, but my boss did this or this person did that. I get it. That is really, really a bummer. But right now, what's going on in your heart? Are you standing up or are you looking at Jesus and saying, I ain't going in. And he's saying, I need an adjustment here. He's saying, see, God created you and I to live wholehearted by design. And if you look at the vast majority of those in the Bible, where it gives us detailed account, whether it be a healing, whether it be a ministry, whether it be a calling, is God first brought them to a place to transition from half-hearted to wholehearted before he moved in their life. And that we have to grab hold of that in our life. And, you know, you stop and think about this. And when God was speaking to Samuel about the next king, he said this. He said, mankind looks at the outside, but I look at the heart. God said, I'm looking at what's going on in the heart. And what it is Satan's goal is for us to simply get into half-heartedness in our relationship with God, if you're married, in your relationship with your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents. If you're in regard to maybe your work, just to get half-hearted, well, my boss is just a jerk. You know what? There's been a whole lot worse than him. How about serving him like you're serving Jesus, or her like you're serving Jesus, and watch what he does. Watch what he does, because God is incredibly, and I think what we do is that if we allow half-heartedness, we have allowed an impediment in our life that's holding us back from the great thing that God has. We've allowed that impediment to come in. And we've got to just stop and make that personal assessment. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:10 that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Say, well, I'm just a whopper flipper. Be the best whopper flipper anybody's ever seen. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, I just do this. So what? Who are you doing it for? Well, nobody really appreciates me. God does. Maybe he's allowing you to go through a season where nobody appreciates you to reveal a heart adjustment you need to make for why you do what you do. Okay. I can just tell right now, some people are getting tense with me. Okay, look. I mean, look. Can we go through a little aerobics thing real quick? Okay, look. Just go like this to the person next to you. Just go like that. Go like that. And say to them, he is not talking about us. It's people we know. How many of you know what I'm saying? I do not know how much. Daniel, how much time do I have up here? Should I be done? Daniel, how much time do I have? I'm like, it says I got 30 minutes. I don't think so. Huh? Okay. I'm going to just fast forward a little bit. And I want to give us four things that reveal where our heart is. Four things that reveal. And I say this in all sincerity, is that many times we don't know where our heart is. We really don't. And I'm there. I totally get it. You know what I'm saying? My wife will say, she'll say something to me or whatever. And she'll say, I really want to work on this. And I'm like, okay. And she'll be like, do you too? How many of you know that's half-hearted? That's half-hearted. I should be, yes, baby. She's like, oh, I love this. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I want to give you four things, and I want us, because we've got to steward and lead our own heart. I think all of us can sit here and honestly say we've had friends in our life that were like, they did something really, really stupid. And we're like, gosh, what happened? It was a heart issue. And so we've got to steward our heart. And I want to give us four things that reveal where our heart is. Number one is this, is our words. My words reveal where my heart is. Now, I want to be clear when I say this. I'm not saying, you know, you just, how many of you know sometimes you just say something stupid? How many, you know, it's just like, stupid. That was just dumb. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? But look at what it says. It says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Now look at this. What you say flows from what's in your heart. See, our words reveal what's in us in abundance. I can tell what you're full of just by talking to you. I can just tell. I can tell what's going on, what's filling up your life. How many of you know what I'm saying? I could just tell just by talking. You say, well, man, you're smart. No, I'm not. The Bible is. And he said that you can tell what's in me by what I'm talking about. If you get around me and all I'm talking about is money, let me just tell you, that's what I'm full. That's where my heart is. If you get around me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we all know today that the Saints are going to win today. You say, why did you say that? Because that's in my heart. And you guys missed a super good opportunity to come into agreement with me. James said this. James said that my tongue is like three things in James 3. He said it's like the rudder of a ship that is driven by fierce winds. That's what he said. He said, I can tell the direction your ship is going by the words that are coming out of your mouth. He said, the next thing he said is our tongue is like a bit that you put in a horse's mouth to turn it where you want it to go. God says, I can tell where your life is going. I can tell what's going on in your heart by your mouth. And then the next thing he said is that my tongue is like a spark that starts a forest fire. And he further explained, he said, Satan is going to try to get you to get your heart full of the wrong stuff, speaking the wrong stuff, and burn your whole life down. That's what he tries to do. And I want to be clear when I'm standing up here saying, this is not intended for a gotcha moment. This is not intended for me to stand up here and be, you know, any level of holier than thou or any level of anybody ribbon, because all of us struggle in this area. We all do. And so we have to stop and say, wow, I'm going to begin to, the words that are coming out of my mouth are showing me what's going on in my heart. They're showing me what's going on in my heart. See, and what it is it just simply revealed. Number two, the second thing that our words do or that we can tell where our heart is, number two is this, is our money. Our money. You say, well, why would you say that? You're ticking me off. Well, bring it up with Jesus. Let me read you a scripture. Okay. Jesus said our money reveals where our heart is. Matthew 6:21. I'll give you another one in a couple minutes, but wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Jesus said that what we do with our money reveals where our heart is in the truest sense. In the truest sense. You know, I had somebody come to me and they're like, my wife's leaving me. I can't believe it. I've been married for 30 years and she's leaving me. I'm like, well, what did she, and I know this person. I'm like, what did she say? She said, sleep with your horses. I knew the guy liked horses. So I said, well, why did she say that? Because I spend all my money on my horses. How many of you know I can be a joker? Inappropriately sometimes. So I looked at him and went. I was just wrong. What did you say? Okay. That was bad. I shouldn't have done that. Let me just say something. If Jesus is first and you're married, you can see it in your money. I mean, wait. If Jesus is first, you can see it in your money. If you're married, you can see your wife or your husband in that place. If you have kids, you can see them in that place. And if you can't see them in that place, don't tell me the words. The Bible says that my money is a thermometer, and it tells me the temperature of what's going on in here. Are you with me? And so we have to stop. And I want to be clear. This is not a gotcha moment, but this is an assessment of our heart in our life. If Jesus said this, understand, then I've got to stop and look and just say, wow, I've said my heart is into my... And you could look at my check register and clearly see my values. You say, what do you mean? First thing you'd see is God is super, just like... But the next thing you'd see is my wife is just like, whoa, dude. You know what I'm saying? And then the next thing you'd say is my kids. You'd say, what is all that? That's my heart. That's where my heart is. That's where my heart is. And it's just simply, you could just see it. See, what's important is revealed in our money. Jesus said this in Luke 12:34. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Number three is this. Is that what number I'm on, number three? Number three is where I run first when I have problems. See, you can tell where my heart is by where I run first when I'm facing problems. When I'm facing problems, and I want to be super clear, I am all for community. I am all for friends praying for you. I am all for, I need them. I need community. I need friends. I need all of that. But I'm telling you something. It needs to be developed that the moment I face a problem, there is an overwhelming sense of awareness that God's got me. You say, what if you're in Walmart? Who cares? God! You know what I'm saying? Sometimes what it is that, yes, we need community. They're super important, but they are not first. I need God. They're not first. I got lots of good friends. I've been friends with Pastor Daniel. We got 30 years together. See, no human being is enough to rise your son and set it. No employer should ever be able to rise your son and set it. No friend should ever replace God. He's the only one that can rise your son and set it. He's the only one. And what it is that I've got to have a heart that says, okay, Lord, I realize that where I've been running to first, and I want to, and please, you know, I don't know, you know. I mean, you'd be here and you're like, dude, I run here. Or I run there, or I run here. It's like, I just want to encourage you to begin to stop and to say, where do I run to in my heart first when I'm facing problems? Is there just an open, oh, Jesus, I need you. Lord, where do I run first? And the last one, number four, is this. Is we can tell where our heart is, number one, by our words. Number two, by our money. Number three, where we run first when we have problems. And number four is my response when I realize that my beliefs or actions are in opposition to the Bible. When I realize, oh my gosh, that I've been thinking this and it's different than the Bible. I've been acting this way and it's different than the Bible. I've been reacting this way, and it's different. Now, please get me when I say this. I am not saying you can fix it. I'm not even saying fix it. I'm saying agree with God. That's all I'm saying. Because just an inside track, y'all, we can't fix ourselves. Okay? We can't. You can't fix. You've got to plug into the power. You got to plug into the one that can change us from the inside out. He is not trying to fix us from the outside in. He's trying to fix us from the inside out. And the inside out is my heart agreeing with what he says. And I'm not going to change what he says. I'm going to change my heart to agree with what he says. And if I feel like I can't do it, I'm just going to be open with him and say, Lord, I don't think I can do it. I don't know how to do it. This has been an addiction. This has been a struggle. This has been my mama did it. My mama's mama did it. My mama's mama's did it. And Lord, this is just the way I've been living. And God says, I don't care. I need you to agree with me. Where we just stop and we, okay, God. How many of you know? I mean, you say, do you got this down? No. You say, how do you know? Because my wife told me 2 days ago. I don't have this down. You say, oh, what do you mean? She said something. I reacted. She told me it wasn't right. I said, I prayed. Lord said she's right. And I said, but she was wrong too, Lord. Are you going to talk to her about that? How many of you know what I'm saying? And he's like, she's none of your business. Wait a minute, Lord, I'm the leader. No, I'm the leader. Okay. Okay, look, let's get back. Just reel it in. Drove the bus over the top. You know that the word repent, when we talk about number four, is my response when I realize that my beliefs or my actions are in opposition to the Bible. This reveals my heart. It reveals my heart. The word repent means this. It means to change your mind and way of thinking and agree with God from the inside to heartily amend your ways. That's what it means. Repent doesn't mean you can fix it. Repent means on the inside, I agree with you, God. That is the most important step in our life. Think about this for a moment. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Before Jesus comes and John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus. And what is John preaching? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare the way. Then in Matthew 4, 17, after Jesus' baptism and he starts his ministry, what does Jesus preach? Repent. Change your heart to agree with God on the inside. Then after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the very first sermon that the apostles preached after the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the Holy Spirit was poured out, is they preached, repent and heartily amend your ways. This is something in our life that it is where I just stop. And I want to just ask you a question. How am I with God in his word when I realize I've missed it? Let's just be honest. How many of you know what I'm saying? Let's just tell us. How many of us can honestly say sometimes we struggle with this? Okay, great. I'm really glad that about 20 of us are Christians. I said, how many? You know what I'm saying? It's like, but I want to tell you something. Is I believe today, for 2019, we are all praying for the Lord to move in an area of our life. Can we all agree on that? God is saying to us, I need you to be wholehearted. Lord, first starts with my relationship with God. But next is if I'm standing there and I'm looking and I'm saying, I need this area to grow. Are you wholehearted in that area with him right now? He said, I don't know. Okay, then just stop and back up and just look at these four things because it'll reflect where my heart is. And I believe that every one of us, we screw up and we make mistakes. But I'm telling you, nobody has authority over the condition of my heart. I am the only one that is responsible for my heart. And if I guard my heart, if I trust the Lord with all my heart, if I apply myself, get ready, because 2019 is going to be the best year of our life. Amen? I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. I want to just a really personal moment right now with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit in our life. Whenever we hear a teaching or something preached in our life, we should always ask ourselves, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying to me? And I want us to right now just close our eyes. And Lord, we come before you. We know that you're the way of life. We know, Lord, that you are better than anything natural. And Lord, we come to you right now. We just ask you, Lord, everyone that is here, Lord, what are you saying to us individually right now? Lord, is there an area, maybe our relationship with you, where we've just kind of been half-hearted? We're not making time for you. We're looking for time for you. Lord, right now, we just invite you. Lord, maybe we're here, and we're married, and we've just kind of been half-hearted, not really fully engaged. Maybe we're here, and we need you to do a miracle in an area of our life, but we're just half-hearted in our level of obedience and following you in that area of our life. Lord, maybe we're here and you've spoken something to us about our future, but we're not really taking it serious and we're just kind of half-hearted. If you're here today and you know, you say, I know right now that the Lord is challenging me. He's challenging me, and I know it. I want to, number one, tell you that his grace is here to lift you. His grace is here to encourage you. The Bible says that Jesus was made in a body like you and I have so that he could be tempted, tested, and tried like we are so that he could be a faithful and merciful high priest over our life. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is graceful. But what he wants me to do is to agree with him in those areas and make a hard adjustment. He can do a lot of things, but one thing he can't do is be in charge of my heart. He cannot change my heart. I am the only one that can stop and say, Lord, that's me. And right now, I just make an adjustment. You're here today, and you're saying, I'm a Christian, but you know what? I can honestly say that maybe I've been asking God to do something, but I've been half-hearted. Maybe in my relationship with him, maybe in the area I'm asking, and I know it right now. I want to just pray for you if that's you. What I want you to do is on the count of three, if that's you, just to lift your hand. I'm just going to pray. I believe that the Lord is going to speak to you, direct you over the next few days. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand to the Lord. There you go. All over the room. Lord, we so love you. We so need you and desire you. And Lord, I thank you for each one of these precious brothers and sisters that are here that are just saying, yes, Jesus. Saying, yes, Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, number one is refreshing over their life. Just refreshing. Refreshing maybe in the area where they feel like they've been run over. And you're saying, I've got you. And I want you to go all in and be wholehearted with me right now. Lord, I just lift every one of them up and I rebuke every attack of the devil in Jesus' name. And I declare over them provision, safety, strength, healing, Lord, in every area. Lord, I just thank you for the freshness of your Holy Spirit that you begin to stir them on the inside. Lord, I pray that, Lord, your word jumps off of the page and your word produces a can-do spirit. Your word produces of God is in me. And yes, Lord, I choose you today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for every one of them. And Lord, I thank you for filling them. Filling them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.